Welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and this is episode 40. Today we're going to be talking about gardening prep for the fall and winter so that you can have a great head start on your spring garden. But before we get into that, I want to remind you to head on out to havenhomestead.com. That's www.havenhomestead.com, where you can see everything that we have going on here at the farm, see pictures and events and everything that we have happening here. Also, please consider becoming a supporter at our Patreon page. That's Patreon, patreon.com/havenhomestead, patreon.com/havenhomestead. And there you can support the show and keep this going and help us help other people live more sustainable lives. Also, please head on out to www.happyleafled.com. Look there at all for all of your indoor growing needs. And in fact, with that, Lindsay has something to say about it. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Vic Zatteray and his team at Happy Leaf LED are changing the way growers think about grow lights. Happy Leaf LED is no joke lighting technology that really works. The lights are affordable, powerful, and efficient. With their Anywhere Anytime garden kits, they'll change the way you think about hydroponics too. For more information on Happy Leaf LED, go to happyleafled.com. You'll be happy you did.
Thank you, Lindsay. Also, come visit us on Twitter and Instagram. I don't have very much on either one of those yet, but you'll be the first to be notified if I post anything on either one of those. One, I tried to put Haven Homestead, and it was already taken, so I put The Haven Homestead. I was going to put The Real Haven Homestead, but instead I just put The Haven Homestead, and they let me keep that. Head on out to Instagram at The Haven Homestead, or Twitter at just regular old Haven Homestead. Follow, like, support, share, all those things. The more, the better. So without any further ado, we'll get right into the topic at hand, which is prepping your garden now for springtime. So you prep it in the fall and the winter, and then you have amazing results in the springtime. Less work, better harvest, all of those things because of your because of the labor you put in now. So usually when by the time you get to this time of the year, here it is November, but even, you know, October, it seems like there's just, depending on where you live, there are so many like dead plants in the garden. Things are falling over. The tomatoes have all turned black because there's been a frost or those sort of things. Your garden is looking pretty sad. And this is the time to go ahead and get that taken care of. So first thing you want to do is you want to go out there and clean your garden up. You want to take pull all the tomato plants out, all the pepper plants, your sunflower stalks, all the different things that you grew this year. Pull them up and look for disease. If there's any disease on them, you don't want to compost those. I was going to say throw them in the compost bin, but you don't want to compost anything that has diseases on it. Also be careful of composting things with seeds in them. Like, for instance, the tomatoes and the peppers. If there are some fruit that weren't quite ripe and you throw it in there, it might ripen in the bin, or the seeds may be far enough along to where they're fertile, and you can just be planting lots and lots of weeds in the future, because each one of those have hundreds of seeds inside, and when you plant that in your garden, unknowingly, you just planted, you know, hundreds of tomatoes also. And, you know, it gets tilled in and spread all around and could be a big headache later on. Also, with the tomatoes, the chance of them having disease are higher, your tomatoes and your peppers. So it's just better not to mulch your tomatoes and peppers. Now's a good time to stack those tomato cages up. You take the tomatoes out, pull all the vines and stuff out, stack those tomato cages up. Get the tools out of the garden that you've been using all summer. Roll up your irrigation stuff, put everything away so that your garden will be easier to work in the spring. Also, now is the time to take those tools into the shop or into your, you know, garage or prep area, whatever that may be, and sharpen the blades, sharpen the saws, throw some oil on them, put some oil on them to keep them rust free. Also, you throw a little linseed oil on your wooden handles. That way it keeps them looking nice. It keeps them from cracking and drying out. You know, you just want to take care of your stuff now. Get it out of the garden. Sometimes, I know I've had it to where come springtime, you start getting ready to do stuff in your garden, and there's a rake or something that's just been sitting there covered in snow all winter long, and now it's, you know, not very good shape. It might be really rusty, or maybe the handle's been soaked too long. You know, if you have a wooden handle, it might have started to get fungus inside, starting to rot. It's better to take care of those things and get them all cleaned up and put away now so that you don't have to worry about that later. This is all about saving labor down the road. Then after you get everything cleaned up, then you want to loosen up your soil. Now, I'm not an advocate of tilling your soil, but if you do have a garden fork or a broad fork, you can, you know, reach that in the soil and till it up, or just a shovel. Stick it in there all the way down, you know, the whole shovel head in there. Pull it back, give a little bit of room, then take your shovel out of the ground, go back a few inches, do it again, and just keep on, you kind of break up the soil, but you're not turning it over, you're not putting the bottom layers on top, so that way that the microorganisms stuff can still live in there, but just a little bit, there's just a little more oxygen in there. And that's kind of I believe it's the ideal way. And then when you go to plant and you go to turn those or do that, you just stab your shovel in there, pull it back. You can throw seeds in. So, you know, you just judge how deep you're going to put it in there. If they're deeper rooted, say the bulbs or roots, you can just toss them in the bottom of it, like a comfrey or something. And it's a really easy way to plant, really easy way to kind of work the soil just a little bit. Just enough to get the water penetration and oxygen down into the roots. So that's one thing I say. So loosen the soil up, and then now it's the time to prepare your garden bed. Everything's cleaned up. The soil underneath is loosened. If you haven't collected seeds, also get the seeds collected out of your plants. Also look for the plants that need to be divided. What if you have some garlic that you left in the ground? Now is the time to pull that up and divide it to be planted again. Or any bulbs need to be divided. Your comfrey can be divided. Your mints can be divided. All those things can just be divided and placed into, you know, larger areas if that's what you so desire. Now, after everything's been taken care of, you got your soil loose and you got your seeds already collected, drying, ready to be put into use next spring. Now's the time to prep the garden bed. So you loosen the soil, you put on some fertilizer. Now I like to do the lasagna style garden bed. So you loosen the soil, you put in fertilizer. Organic fertilizer is what I prefer. Organic fertilizer are things like compost, mulch, manure, leaves, grass clippings maybe, or straw, or, you know, and those are kind of, those are mulch. These are things that will break down over time. Now, if you're going to put something that's heavy in carbon, like a dried grass or straw, or even the leaves, then you want to add something that is high in nitrogen. This is where you'll put in your chicken manure or your steer manure, or in our case, we do rabbit manure. And you take the manure and you put that in with your garden bed. So after you've turned the soil, you can put in your nitrogen rich. Then you put in your carbon, which was, like I talked about, compost, mulch, leaves, straw, that sort of thing. Then you do it over again. You put another layer of nitrogen, another layer of carbon. So the nitrogen being green things like green plants or manure, and then your carbon on top of that. And now the nitrogen will feed it, will feed the soil and feed the microorganisms, the carbon-rich or brown material, so they got the greens and the browns. The browns will cause the sunlight not to reach into the soil. So you kind of do a double purpose there, double threat. The first is that you're feeding the ground and the microorganisms that are there that are making the ground more healthy and more fertile, and you're blocking out the weeds that you don't want. Now, I like to add another step onto this, which is I put down cardboard after the first layer of nitrogen. So I'll break the soil up, I'll throw in some rabbit manure, I'll put cardboard down after I've taken everything like labels and tape and staples off of the cardboard. Then I use the cardboard as my first carbon layer, I guess you could say, because it's the same sort of thing. But the thing I like about cardboard is that you can easily find a lot of it, and you can easily lay it down flat. And by the time that spring comes around, you can't even tell it was there, unless you put it really thick. But as long as you just put one or two layers, I think that, you know, we get a lot of rain here, but by the end of the wintertime, we have nothing left of it. The worms come and eat it, and the microorganisms come and eat it. So you put that nitrogen down, you put your cardboard down, throw some more nitrogen on top, then you put your mulch, and then maybe another layer of nitrogen on top, just for good measure. When the springtime comes around, that garden bed is ready to go. That garden bed is fertile, is already been worked. As long as people haven't been walking across it, it's not compact. You can easily reach down with a hand shovel, pull back some of the dirt, you know, stab right through the cardboard because it's just pretty much brown goo by that point. Stab through, open it up, throw in your seed or your tomato start or whatever, what have you, and then cover it back up, and you've already got a really good start to your garden. And because of the cardboard, the weed barrier, whatever that is, if you've got a lot of straw or you've got a lot of cardboard, then that weed barrier has kept the weeds from coming up. This last year, we grew just crazy amount of tomatoes, and we probably spent all summer long less than an hour in all weeding our tomatoes. I mean, it was so easy. We had, just because we put down the rabbit manure and did kind of lasagna style, what we used for our carbon is we used wood chips. The county dropped off a whole bunch of wood chips. We put down cardboard and wood chips, but that was able to suppress all of the weeds and give us that much needed carbon layer. Now, the reason why you don't just put nitrogen and instead of, you know, why we put carbon and nitrogen is some of the microorganisms eat one or the other. Some of them will do really well with the carbon or eat carbon rich stuff like straw or wood mulch, but they don't eat a lot of the nitrogen, you know, and the nitrogen loving bugs are there. So both are present. You're feeding the both kinds of bugs. Now, when you put stuff like bark down or wood chips like we had, that fungal activity is a good thing in your garden. That is just a really good rich breakdown of things. And so this next year, our garden has already been covered in this wood chips. I mean, I just pulled the tomatoes right out of it. You just kind of scoop the wood chips back over the holes that you made, and it should be in good shape for next year when we go to plant something else into that spot. Now, there's one more thing I want to say about fertilizer, and that is that your organic fertilizers, your, like the things we talked about, your browns and your greens, are going to be better for your soil than synthetic fertilizers. You know, you go to the store and you get a 10, 10, 5 or whatever, you know, the NPK value. And the reason why these are better for your soil is they feed your plants, just like the synthetic things do. But the thing that the organic stuff does is it adds organic biomass to your soil, which will benefit your soil in the long run. And that is something that the synthetic fertilizers just can't do, because they're just a chemical, and they have no parts of straw and grass and things that have been chewed up or otherwise, you know, used by the animal, or you know, they just don't have the same attributes that the organic stuff does. So the organic stuff will affect your garden and benefit your garden over a much longer period of time. It might not be as quick acting, but I feel like the benefits outweigh the drawbacks. So there's a couple don'ts. I mentioned earlier, don't compost your tomatoes or your peppers, which is really good information, because I don't think anyone's... I learned this as I was studying for this podcast, And I don't know that I've ever had anybody really just say, don't compost this stuff, you know, burn it or throw it in the garbage or something. And don't prune your roses. If you have roses, I was reading that if you prune a rose, it stimulates new growth. And that's not good to do in the fall time. They said don't even cut off dead wood, because that will also, for some reason, maybe if you make a mistake and cut it back a little too far, I'm not sure. But it will make your rose grow into the winter when it doesn't have any space to grow. Or it's not, you know, favorable conditions. So don't prune your roses. Don't compost your tomatoes or your peppers. All right, well, one more note. After you get done mulching and getting your garden ready, do clear the space around your plants, around your fruit trees or your shrubs or perennials and stuff. Clear a little bit of space around them so that the mulch and stuff isn't right up against the trunk, because the mulch being up against there will cause rot and disease, because it has that moist thing right up against these trunks and these branches that you don't want on your shrubs or your bushes or your fruit trees especially. They'll also, in the winter time, mice and voles and moles and things like to burrow underneath the mulch, and if they can get right up to a tree without being spotted, they'll nibble that tree and kill that tree off. They'll girdle it. So clear out the area around your, leave a little bit of open space, maybe 6-8 inches, you know, as far as you, depending on the size of the tree, you know, some of you might want to go a whole foot, but leave some space around the bottom of the tree and your bushes and things like that, so that you'd keep away disease and rodents. So, looking over my notes here, I think that is it. So, now's the time to prepare so that you can have a amazing harvest next year. What's the old saying? A stitch in time saves 9? Well, it goes with gardening too. Hope you found this episode useful. Please don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/havenhomestead. And I've put some questionnaires up there in Patreon, and I'd like to still hear about what you guys want to hear from. It's a really good way to interact with me, also at havenhomestead.com. Once again, this has been the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.